أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين له بإحسان. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفعه ومن قلب لا يخشعه ومن عين لا تدمعه ومن نفس لا تشبعه ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وقني شر نفسي. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. A very beautiful دعاء. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. اللهم ألهمنا وسددنا. Meaning, O Allah, inspire us and protect us from the evil of our nafs. Imagine if Allah inspired us and Allah protect us from the evil of our nafs. What else we want? This is what we want. Because either Allah inspire us or shaitan make waswasa to us. It's not three. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa tabi'ina ila yawm al-din. What we gained yesterday? Anybody know? Yes.
How to impress someone, you know, at the day of judgment? Allah will test you at the first day you impress, and you will ask the first day you impress what you want to do with the person that impressed you.
Meaning you're lost. You talk about in the day of judgment, if I oppress somebody in this dunya, In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the justice from me, and He give the right to the oppressed one, and the oppressed one can take all my good deed. Now, but why I mentioned it yesterday? I was talking about the beginning of Quran and reading Quran. What this has to do with Quran? Anybody know? What's that? No. Something is very important.
You can discuss how when you read Quran, you can either help you or you can hurt you.
Exactly. What happened is, when I'm reading Quran, imagine if I'm in a state of oppression, meaning I'm oppressing somebody. I'm in a state of sins. Can I see Quran? Can I comprehend Quran? Can Allah show me the bounty of Quran? No way. I'm blind. I'm blind. I will see the ink of the Quran, but that's it. I will never see behind the ink of the Quran. Because, yes, the books containing the word of Allah, the hadith of Allah, but what's the difference between one and another? The status of the heart. The eyes is the same. Sit properly, never sit like that. The manner is the number one setting to gain knowledge. The more the manner you have, the more receiving from Allah. Why? We said, once you sit in the halaqa, wonder what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels, and it checked my intention and your intention. Forget about me. Even if I speak Urdu, I speak Hindi, I speak Chinese, I speak whatever. And if you're sitting in here with the intention to receive from Allah, you will receive. It has nothing to do with language. It's to do with what Allah will feed you in your heart direct. You can be sitting in here and crying to Allah and you cannot even hear me. And I can be mumbling by any language. And you get up from here and you will receive beautiful language, beautiful knowledge. And I can speak beautiful language, you understand it completely, and you even hear empty completely the way you came. Why? According to your sincerity and the state of the heart. Because when the angel comes, you do not check your status of your body. They check the status of your heart. What you have in your heart, according to what you have in your heart and what you want, Allah will give you. Don't ever forget that. You can make believe, I make believe, it's not going anywhere. And this also according to what you're doing before you came and what you're doing after you leave. And this is why I tell to many of us, why today us as a Muslim, we're coming in a gathering like that. We receive some beautiful knowledge and we leave and we empty. Because when I was sitting, my body and my heart is full of thinking about something else. What I'm going to cook tonight? Who's going to come? What? And all kind of topic. I wish you finish early, by this way you can go play. You see, whatever you have, do you think Allah will give you at this time? You are nuts. Allah will not give you anything. Why? You do not value what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Because the moment you gather for Allah, is no gathering in earth better than this. Is no gathering in earth more than gathering for Allah. Any gathering, just you're going to mention word Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a winner. And the moment deep in your heart, you want leave, or you want the meeting to be finished as soon as possible, you are a loser. Because actually the companion, when you sit in a gathering like that, you wish that he died in a gathering, or the gathering will never finish it. Why? He hated. Because we are now in the upper level of the earth. Now we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment we leave, where are we going? To the market? To play a game? To be a slave to each other? But with every moment you have in here, you have no another moment higher than that. And please, with our sister, don't sit like that. I see some sister and some young men, they sit like this, sit like this. If you are over 90, you lost all your family, you can sit like that. Because it's meaning like a woman, she really knows her family, all her family is dead, and she really... The way you sit, you receive, this will be your personality. Don't ever forget that. Today we're going to talk about something very important, which is we need it in our life, and we need it in dealing with other, except the Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Especially if you are a youth and going to college. And remind me, was a question came to me last night about young man asked me he wants to study psychology. But remind me in the end of the gathering, inshallah. Now, one scholar, he said something so beautiful. Do you know what the first preparation miracle from Allah about Quran? I wish somebody tell me and make me happy. The first preparation from Allah for Quran. We talk about Quran, not Rasulullah. For you remember yesterday we said Quran revealed by Arabic, and Allah said Quran and Arabian. Why Allah chose the Arabic language? And how Allah prepared for it? I tell you the truth, I do not expect you to know. Not even too many people know what I'm going to tell you now. Arabic Peninsula, you remember? No civilization. No status. Put it this way, like a garbage people, barbarian, this and that. Okay? Even at this time, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, every empire used to attack them. People used to attack them all the time. They attack each other. Do you think if you are a nation or a group of people has nothing, do you think anybody would like to learn your language? Or you're learning a language is so important to you? Do you understand or no? By this way, Arabic language was not famous at all. Nobody even wanted to dare to talk about it. And even among the Arabic people, a bunch of tribes, each tribe talk different dialect. And they do not even understand each other sometimes. Look at the power of Allah. And this, according to the historian, the Muslim historian, it is said it is happening almost 100 to 120 years before Rasulullah ﷺ arrived. Before the birth of Rasulullah ﷺ, what I'm going to tell you, it happened already 100, 120 years before. Look how Allah worked. You know, Arabic people like poem. You understand me? Arabic people like poem. They like to say poem. And wonder what happened. By the will of Allah, He made some of the people from Quraysh tribe become so famous. And they composed the best poem of their own time. Now, the head of every tribe and clans used to send the educated sons among them and daughters to Quraysh to study Quraysh language to compete in the following year. And over 100 years, now the whole Arabic Peninsula speaks Quraysh language. Do you see how it goes or no? Do you see when Allah ordained something, how He prepared it? You see how He prepared it? By this way, all Arabic Peninsula and outside Arabic Peninsula, if they like to really compose and read a beautiful poem, what they do? They have to study Quraysh Arabic. Why? Because the best composer going from there. Who allows a person to compose beautiful poem? Who allows a people to unite his heart toward him? It's Allah. You see how Allah, when He ordained something, and sometimes we do not know, when the Qadr coming, with the destiny coming, nobody can stop it. By this way, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, preparing all the Arabic Peninsula to respect and be educated about Quraysh language. By this way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Quraysh, And the Quran, whose lughat Quraysh, whose the language of Quraysh, wonder what happened. Everybody can understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He do taqdeer. He prepare. He's wise. He doesn't do things foolishly. No. This is why if you see something in your life and you think something is foolish in your life, in your life, you are nuts. There's no accident, there's no coincidence, there's no foolishness. Even the worst thing happened to us, it has a wisdom. But only if you go to Allah and ask Him, what's the wisdom behind it, Ya Allah? And it's very important, I want you to know, please, every time you have a problem, you have a question, you have a concern in your life, call Allah. Ask Allah to give you the wisdom and the basira of what's going on. Now, also something else. Something very important. Today, us, as a Muslim in this country, sometimes people said, how we know Quran is the word of Allah? How we know Quran is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or is it actually that non-Muslims say it is the word of Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam steal it from somebody else? How we answer it? Let's go back to Quran. Because this actually argue is not a new argument. Because believe it or not, when somebody argue you, today we're really nuts. You know why? Because we're not listening to Allah. Do you know once you get closer to Allah, you know what you discover? People who argue today with you is no different between their argue and argue 1400 years ago. If anybody give me the answer, Ya Allah, I do not know what to do. Who's the answer? I'm asking a simple question. Why the argue of the past and the future and any place in earth is the same? Why?
Because of the jahiliya.
Who give you the argue? Allah or shaitan?
Shaitan.
And shaitan is one. The teacher is one. If Allah inspire you, inspiration from Allah is one. And if shaitan make you argue or we do mischief, the mischief is one. This is why you find people with bad deed, with bad quality, with bad manner. You find Chinese, Christian, whatever, Muslim, here and there, the same identical quality. For example, if you're stingy, it doesn't matter who you are, stingy is stingy. Is the quality of Allah or quality of shaitan? Shaitan, if you argue, if you are nonsense, if you are arrogant, if you stubborn, if you are a fool, any bad quality coming from whom? Shaitan. That's why shaitan is one. And any good quality coming from whom? Allah. That's why when you see good quality, from Allah. When you see bad quality and argue, from shaitan. Believe me, if you hear some of the argue today in colleges, and you read Quran, and you read the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find the same identical. Identical. With any language, it's the same identical. All you have to do, go back, study what happened, and you will find the answer. And we'll go through it now. And also something very important, today, us as a Muslim, we're really facing a big calamity between us and Allah. I remember, without mentioning names, I was in one masjid with a scholar, he has a 3 degree in Islam, 3 doctorate degree. And I asked him, how is the work of da'wah in your area? Meaning the inviting to Islam. He said, MashaAllah, every day 100, 200, we make hujjah against them. Do you know what I mean? Every day we make evidence against 100 or 200 people every single day. Is this da'wah? The da'wah is to talk to you and lead you to hellfire? Let me answer him from Quran. And this is one of our scholar. And this is our mentality today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Quran. What is Quran? He said, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحكيم. Believe me, I'm reading this verse in my hair, get Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kitabun, a book. أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ. We reveal it to you, ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ. To lead people, to get them out from darkness to light. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. Listen to this word. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. With the command of Allah. Today, I bear witness, a lot of us as a Muslim doing da'wah, but we don't shirk with Allah. Do you know why? Imagine if I talk to you, and my intention in my heart, I talk to you, why you do not listen? Who am I? I only can talk. I only can talk. But the only one can change your heart is Allah. Do I go to Allah and ask Him, oh Allah, open for her or her? Unless you do da'wah and join it with du'a in the same night, you do shirk. Take me seriously. Because if I do da'wah to you, and I do not ask Allah, oh Allah, good barakah in what I'm saying. Oh Allah, accept it, ya Allah. Good light, ya Allah. Good guidance, ya Allah. It's almost like I'm the one who give. Who am I? Who am I? I cannot give nothing. I'm a slave, you are a slave. I'm poor, you are poor. I'm only a talker. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He want, He can take what I'm saying, good blessing in it, good barakah in it, good guidance in it, good light in it, if He want, not me. And this applies to your own children. I talk to her, she doesn't listen. Who am I? If Allah block your daughter or your son or your husband or your wife, who am I to open my wife or my kid or my son or my husband? Who am I? I cannot open nobody. If I believe about the name of Allah, who's the opener? Who's the fattah? Allah. Who's the guider? Allah. Who's the liar? Allah. And this today we misunderstand. This today we misunderstand. Please be careful. Don't do shirk. Is a shirk. Is a partner with Allah. Association with Allah. In what? In the most highest things Allah gives. By this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a book to lead people from darkness to light with the command of Allah. بإذن ربه. إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. To the right path of Allah, Al-Aziz, the most exalted, the most high, Al-Hamid, the most praised. Don't ever forget that. Now let me take you to another verse is very severe, important to us too. And this is what we're doing today. We're pointing finger to the non-Muslim so quick. And we forget what Allah said. Listen to this. In the middle of a really heavy conflict between the Muslim and the non-Muslim in the time of the beginning of Revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَ. And if somebody from the one who associated with Allah استجار, tell you, please, can you save me? Can you guard me? فَأَجِرْ. Protecting him. Meaning, if a non-Muslim coming to you and tell you, please, save me from so and so, accept it. Save the person. Guard the person. Help the person. Until what? حتى يسمع كلام الله. Until he listened to the word of Allah. What it mean? My relationship between Muslim and non-Muslim, all over, it has to be with kindness, generosity, and good manner. And I keep giving them da'wah. I keep letting them listen to the word of Allah with wisdom and kindness. Once they receive it, I did my job. Today, I bear witness. Did we did it? No. But I'm sitting in a computer sending all kind of argument. Is this da'wah? Or talking nonsense? Or I acting like a monkey and won't give da'wah to other? This blew my head off. I acting like a criminal and I won't give da'wah and pointing finger. It scared me. And you carry the word of Allah. And you have no behavior belong to Allah at all. You have no manner of a Muslim. And you just pointing finger. And this famous in the Muslim ummah, a new Pakistani community. A man acting like a nuts, but border, border, border. And all you worry about border, but the person has no border in his life at all. The person has no manner, no iman, no yaqeen, no fear of Allah, no love of Allah, acting like nuts. But his woman has to have border. This is the ultimate sharia in his mind. But he has no sharia at all in his life. It's scary. Because this person is blind, is deep blind. You know why? I believe in Allah. Do you know why Allah blind a person? Anybody know? Why Allah blind a person, Muslim or non-Muslim? Believe me, sins is not a big deal. Why Allah blind a person? He doesn't want to go in the path of Allah. Why? Satan specific. What's that? He doesn't have the love of Allah, correct? Something more.
He doesn't control his desires.
What's that?
Desires.
Desires. He have his desire akbar. He have his temptation akbar. I never see this person blind unless I see something hidden in his life between him and Allah is doing. Don't show up one way and your personal life something else. Don't do that. And I tell you before about the man who's supposed to be a pious man and the dog find his body. He never even have janazah. If you do not believe me, go check who he was. I cannot mention his name. And he was a man of Quran. He was an imam. A person cut him in the pieces and threw him in the ground in Queens. And the dog find his body after 6 months. Why? He was all dead, but he had some relationship with boys. And this is a disease in our ummah. But we do not talk about it. By this way, check your own personal life. You will find why Allah will blind you. You have some sickness, and Allah know it, and you know it. Don't play game with Allah. And if you have some sickness, don't be a leader or don't be an imam. Say to the people, I'm a sick person. Say the truth. Or sit down far away, cry to Allah until Allah guide you. Extremely important. All of us, you want to see why Allah blind you? Because you follow your temptation in one way or another. And once you be a slave to Allah, Allah will open for you. Because you see, it's a big difference between following your desire and being a sinner. I said it before, we have to commit sins. But once a day, a habit, no. This is why even the person who drinking alcohol, he has punishment. And the person who are addicted to alcohol is cursed. You see the difference? The person who drinking alcohol, the punishment is certain amount of whip. 80 whips, 100 whips, 60 whips, according to the judge. But the person who addicted to alcohol, he's cursed by Allah. And if you do not believe me, read Al-Kaba'ir, the major sin in Imam al-Dhahabi. And he give you all the evidence. Similar to the one who smokes cigarette. Why? He is always in a state of sins. It's big difference between you want to commit sins, shaitan whispered to you, you commit sin once, you ask Allah to forgive you, finished, and you go back to Islam. But you are in a state of death. And we need to talk about it very shortly, inshallah. Now, also the non-Muslims say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, why you do not ask the Creator Allah to send us signs? Show us some miracle. Show us some miracle.
Rasulullah, he had a bunch of miracles, but was not a miracle to prove he is a prophet. Why? Listen to what Allah said. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And he say, if he did not receive a sign of Allah, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say, the sign and the miracle in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. I'm a warner. I'm just a warner. I warn you from the torture of Allah to the right path. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Is not enough to them. I will reveal to you a book. You recite it for them. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is literate. By this way, the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is he's illiterate. By this way, if somebody argue you, how you prove Quran is the word of Allah, said Rasulullah is the prophet, and he composed it, a literate man, it becomes an evidence. And how you prove Quran is the word of Allah, again, look to the same thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this way, Quran is evidence to Rasulullah, he is a prophet. And Rasulullah is evidence, is the Quran is the word of Allah. It's by itself. This is why today, when we go and meet non-Muslim, very simple. So we know a person illiterate. He composed this book with all this sign, with this old miracle, with all this historical fact, with all this scientific evidence. And very simple. Can an illiterate person compose a book like that 1400 years ago from Arabic Peninsula? I give them a small piece of information. Is any one of you live around the sea? Is any one of you live around the sea when he was young? No. Meaning you are a meat eater. Meaning, any people live in the villages, in the mountain, in the valley, they are a meat eater. They eat cow, chicken, whatever, lamb, rabbit. They hate seafood. Why? They never see seafood. And if you go to people who live on the shore, they are a fish eater. And they're not really a meat eater. Now imagine a man living in Arabic Peninsula, far away even from Red Sea. And in the meantime, he knew about marine biology. Because today you have evidence from every aspect of life. From enzyme point of view, from marine biology point of view, from galaxy and the star, from orbits, from geographic, from land, from biology, from internal medicine. How? Is no way possible a man illiterate can do that. You get another argument. They said, yes, he's stealing from a committee of different scholars in his own time, a Hebrew and Greek. He said, okay, no problem. If he steals from people like that, meaning this knowledge was exist. But we're talking about the knowledge nobody knows to mankind until now. Finished. But you see, you have to have the knowledge to know how to argue. If you do not have the knowledge, you will become paralyzed. And you make some pudding and you make a mess. But if you know the knowledge, you will know exactly, precisely how to answer in a nice way and finish it. And also something else. Quran came to mankind. And if today we come in and somebody argues us, how we prove Quran is a miracle, or how we prove the Quran is the word of God, the Creator, the Almighty. We said, oh, you know something? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came, he did this miracle, he did this miracle. I didn't see it. How you prove he did it? By this way, if you study historical fact, is if a prophet coming in his own time, he has to have a miracle with him to prove he is a prophet. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet and messenger to mankind until the day of judgment. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to give him a living miracle until the day of judgment. What is the living miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is Quran. you get it? The ultimate living miracle, never stop is Quran. You cannot go and tell him, oh, but Rasulullah was eating with a companion and his finger make tasbih. This for us, we would believe that. Because we believe in Rasulullah and we believe in Hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in the desert and somebody said, who are you? He said, I'm Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, how I know you are Muhammad Rasulullah? He looked all over, he found nobody, he found a tree. He said, oh tree, come here. And bear witness to me, I'm Muhammad Rasulullah. The tree said, Labbaik ya Rasulullah. Allah made the tree call. And she said, Labbaik ya Rasulullah. And came from the ground, he had all roots, and came make sajda to Rasulullah. And she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. He said, go back. The tree go back. It's authentic story. Happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He talked to animal. Do you remember the story of the camel came complaining to Rasulullah? Let's go back to yesterday. A camel came to Rasulullah complaining about his owner. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm an old camel. And my owner oppressed me and used me too much. Doesn't give me enough time to rest. He doesn't give me enough food. He loading me too much. Ya Rasulullah, he oppressed me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned the person. And the ultimate, he bought it and he didn't go for sabidillah. Imagine, the man was scared from oppressing a camel, and we oppressing each other. And we shake our head and we go back doing the same thing, like we never heard anything. This is a sickness in the heart. To shake your head and you go back like you never listened to anything. And let me tell you something. Sometimes I see it. Why non-Muslims have quality we do not have? Because quality from Allah. It scared me. When I used to go to Hajj, I see Indonesia and Malaysia. They full of bid'ah. They have no Islam. And some Turkey people and different kind of country. They have no Islam. But they have beautiful manner. And I look at us, mashallah, with all the knowledge, and we have no adab at all, no manner. No manner, no quality at all. And I said, Allah, what's going on? Allah is the owner of quality. He gave it to whom he want, and he snatched it from whom he want. And I will give you a recipe, don't ever forget it. Two quality will give you all the quality, and two quality will snatch all the quality from you. Two quality will give you all the quality, and two quality will snatch all the quality from you. Anybody know them? And this goes to Muslim and non-Muslim alike. To the point, Imam Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, what he said, this is a big imam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bless people and land non-Muslim if they just. And he takes the blessing from a Muslim if they not just. The blessing of Allah will not give it to people who are oppressed. People who are with me in the camp, they should know. Two quality will make you gain all the quality. And two quality will make you snatch all the quality from you. Allah snatch it. Nobody can give it to you. Allah iftah alayk wa maid Allah. You said one. You said one more and mashallah. I do not know what to do for you.
For the bad person's stinginess.
MashaAllah. Now he said, one of the good quality and one of the bad quality. He missing two and he got it. I give you 2 4x4 by over it. Go.
First for the bad body, arrogance.
What's that?
The one for the bad person, arrogance.
Allah yiftah alayk. Now you're talking. And what's the opposite? The opposite you get. What's the opposite of arrogance? Humble and humility. Two quality. If you have them, you get all the quality. And two quality, if you have them, Allah snatch all the quality from you. And don't forget it. What they are, the good quality is generosity and humble and humility, whose good manner added to them as all in one package. And the opposite is stingy and arrogant. And this is why when you give da'wah to non-Muslim, if you find a person is stingy and arrogant, don't worry about it. Don't even try. Because Allah would like the person. Even us. I meet people stingy and arrogant. Nothing you can do about it. They start. They blind. They cannot see. They cannot comprehend. If you talk like me, if I talk to them and I put it in a tape recorder, play it overnight, they will not hear, they will not comprehend, they cannot vision, they cannot see. These two qualities don't ever forget. Humble, humility, and good manner is one with generosity. With these two qualities, you get the package of all Allah quality with it. And the opposite is stingy and arrogant, it comes with it all the bad quality with it. Everything. You name it, you have it. Don't ever forget it. If I'm honest to Allah, I forget this forward? Tell me. If I'm honest to Allah, I forget this forward? No way. And I promise you, you work in this two and twos, all the door of goodness will be open for you. But look at yourself honest and see where you are. But I give you a good news and a bad news. The good news is, if Allah allow you to realize, meaning you already have some of them. If you cannot see your own stingy and arrogant, nothing you can do about it. Because I never see a person stingy and say, I'm stingy. I never see a person arrogant and say, I'm arrogant. You tell him you're arrogant, he said, no, you are arrogant. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, be arrogant over the arrogant is a charity for him. Because the arrogant does not know humble and humility. You be humble and humility to the arrogant, he think you are a coward. He never see goodness. He never see goodness. And for you ladies, the one you never get married, be careful. You won't check any man, check with this two quality. You know the rest. If he shake his head and he go like nuts, he's arrogant. He might think he's humble, he's arrogant. Because if I'm humble, I will listen and think and digest it inside and I change. But if I shake my head and nothing going on in my life and my habit is the same, I'm a sick person. I'm really sick. Because if you try to go to Allah, Allah will open. Allah will open, there's no doubt, Allah will open. But why Allah will open unless I want? Unless I said, oh Allah, between me, Allah, I'm sick. Please help me, save me, guide me, cure me. Is this understood? What about the stories in Quran? We neglected. The stories of Quran is also one of the miracles of Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Muhammad, I let you say stories. Never anybody know it before. Because the story of Messenger Prophet in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the detail we have, no Christian or Jew know it. Nobody. Nobody knows the detail we have. Nobody knows all the detail we have. Nobody. We the first one to receive all the details from whom? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also is all the miracle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quran, like all the news. All the things will happen in the future, like the downfall of the Roman Empire. And there's many another evidence when I'm going to go through it, there's another topic completely. You can study it. Which is called the sign and the future messages inside of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prove his prophethood, and in the meantime, this is the word of Allah. Say, Ya Muhammad, this will happen. Say, Ya Muhammad, this will happen. And it happened. Okay? And this happened in many places in Quran, I can give it to you, like Surah Al-Fath, verse 16. And Surah Al-Qamar, the chapter of Qamar, verse 45, and Surah Al-Fath again, verse 27, and Surah Al-Nur, chapter of Nur, verse 55, and Surah Al-Rum, verse 1 and 2. All each one of this, if you read a book about the reason of revelation, it was coming as a message of something will happen in the future. And later on it will happen. Okay? Now, because we're not going through that, because each one of topic I'm talking about it is a topic by itself. If I start going to the detail, it will take many hours and many days. But I'm just giving you a glimpse. Okay? Now, we talk about the adab, the manner, how we go to Quran, how Quran is revealed. Now, I'm going to go to something I did before, and I'm going to do it again, for the purpose of very important to all of us. And once we do that, by the will of Allah, we might be ready to start comprehending the Quran. Something I believe very much. What is it? What's the difference between us and the companion? We sit, they sit. We listen, they listen. But two different things. I'm not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not the companion. I do not have the quality. And you're not the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, we're missing the quality of the speaker and the listener. What is missing in us?
Intention.
No, but we talk about intention. Something very important. Why? Go back to why. I do not want you to start. To them is not happening to us. I talked about it yesterday. Okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with them, we do not have it. What it mean? Okay, I'm going to make it easy for you. They have the zeal and the iman and the yaqeen, they sitting in the valley of paradise. Meaning when they sit with Rasulullah, they know they gaining Jannah. But today, because the heart is full of dunya, Jannah is not coming. By this way, what is missing? The zeal. Why we do not have it? Because we talk about dunya too much. We're not talking about Jannah. We're not talking about Akhirah. We're not talking about yaqeen. What is yaqeen? Death. You know what yaqeen? We'll talk about it in the near future, inshallah. Word yaqeen in Quran has many meaning. One of the meaning, Allah huwa al-haqq al-mubin. Allah is the truth. But yaqeen can be below to death. Al-haqq al-takafir. Hatta azurtum al-maqabir. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Kalla law ta'lamun ilma al-yaqeen. Latarawunna al-jaheem. Thumma latarawunna ayna al-yaqeen. ثم لترونها عين اليقين. You will see it with complete yaqeen. Because once you see it, it's too late. If you see Jahannam, if you see paradise, you have to believe. But what's the difference today between one and another? How much we believe in the unseen. How much we believe in the unseen. Because the whole Islam is unseen. Do we see Allah? No. Do we see Jannah? No. Do we see Hellfire? No. Do we see the touch of the grave? No. Do we see Rasulullah? No. Do we see Angel Jibril? No. We do not see anything. But we believe. And the ultimate belief is the belief you do not see. Why? Why Allah designed it this way? Because if I talk to you and you believe me, meaning you believe in me, you trust me, And if you trust me, you trust what I'm saying. By this way, if you believe in what I'm saying, is actually believing me. Isn't that the topic? The belief of the person above the belief of the topic. And this why when we hear قال الله, we believe. It's not the topic. Once we hear Allah, we have to believe. Once we hear Rasulullah, we have to believe. The more we believe, the more our heart will be zealed to what? To Jannah. To the hereafter. And this is the difference between us and the companion. He completely geared to the hereafter. Imagine a man came to Rasulullah, a young man, and said, Ya Rasulullah, please, I make dua, I want see Jannah, I want see. He said, you cannot. He said, please, I want. Make dua for me, I want see Jannah. He said, you can't. He keep begging Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he keep making dua. And one day, he see Jannah. Do you know what happened? The moment he see Jannah, his brain completely ruptured. He died. He saw Jannah and he died. He cannot take it. I will explain it to you why. Similar, another man said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to see Allah. I want to see Jahannam. He said, you gotta take it. Again, he keep begging him. He saw it, he died. Do you know why? Anybody know why? It's a very simple phenomenon in our life. Why? Anybody know why?
Because the mind can't comprehend it.
The mind and heart cannot comprehend it. Imagine if I tell you today, George Bush elected you the President of the United States. What? Me? The President? You might not be able to take it. Or all the king have a meeting and they elect you the king of all the king of the earth. Me? How many people have the lotto and they die? They cannot take it. And similar, if I put you in a dark room and I'm coming from behind, tick, and you die. By this way, from fear, we cannot take the fear of the unseen. Unknown is fearful. And also, good news too much, we cannot take it. Human being cannot take good news, cannot take bad news. Cannot take something so big, so cannot take something so bad. How many people get paralyzed with bad news? How many people have heart attack with bad news? The stock market go down. My money is gone. And they go down. This is very famous today. You know, even in Arabic country. You know, we're supposed to be a big Hajj, have many Hajj. You know, his head has a sign of, you know, Salah. And he has tasbih in his hand, going back to the Musalla and coming back. But he heard the economy went down, he lost his business, and he died. What happened to the Hajji? What happened to all the law? What's going on? You're supposed to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know? And finished. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati, wa akhlif li khayran minha. But I do not die and get paralyzed and beat everybody because I lost my money. By this way, what is the sign of that? Because our heart is so attached to what we have. By this way, what we need our heart to attach to whom? Allah. We need our heart to attach to whom? To Jannah. And once we have our heart to attach to Jannah, all what we're talking about will be easy to go in. The word of Allah do not come in a world and the heart of somebody is empty. Your heart has to be ready. Like somebody said, I cannot do it now. If I get a cup and I put it upside down and I open the faucet, can I fill it? The water is coming, the cup is empty, but upside down. Similar to our heart. Unless the heart is straight, underneath the faucet is empty, we cannot fill it. What happens if I already have water in here and I want you to give me milk? Can I fill it with milk? I can. It will be mixed. Let me tell you something, it's so dangerous, and all of us, we have it today. Can we get a cup, have some water, some milk, some urine, some leftover dog, some onion, some perfume, some vitamin, some fruit juice mixed up? Can you buy it? Can you drink it? Can it benefit to anybody? But it has milk, it has honey, it has garbage, it has urine, it has everything. Because once he mixed good and bad, it has no value. What happened to our heart? We want some computer, some nonsense, some TV, some backbiting, some, you know, envy, some jealousy, you know, some greed, you know, some accumulation, and some iman, some nur, some light, some guidance. Can it mix? No way. No way, no way. Allah and dunya is the opposite direction. Don't ever forget it. Allah and dunya is the opposite direction. And every time I talk about that, people hate it. It's almost like I'm bringing it from me. A man came to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. He said, what comes with poverty? He left and he came back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I love Allah. He said, welcome with calamity. He didn't say, welcome with Harvard. Welcome with Yale, Berkeley, master degree, no. But today, we want all combination. And after that, when our kids go bye-bye, we said, why do you want bye-bye? Because we want mix everything in the heart. It doesn't work. It cannot benefit them, they cannot benefit other. If you do not believe me, get a cup and mix it with all the ingredients I tell you. And try to drink it and see if it will benefit you. You will throw up in no time. Unless you are abnormal, you will drink it, but it will not benefit you. You will get a diarrhea. And anyway, you throw it up or you lift it up, you know, either direction is gone. This normal. Now, this heart has to be prepared, ready to receive the word of Allah, because the word of Allah is so high. And before, in the same place in here, we talk about the keys of Jannah. The keys of Jannah. Now I'm going to go through it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time. And the key of Jannah, if you know it and be careful with it, it might benefit you a lot, more than you could imagine. And after that, inshallah, by the will of Allah, if I'm still alive and you are alive, we go to some of the jewel and pearls of Quran, inshallah, and the revelation. Now, and the reason again, I'm talking to you now about the keys of Jannah, why? To motivate the heart, to prepare the heart, and give all of us a chance to go back and reflect in our heart and see what we're going to hear, what I have, what I do not have. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me say the fastest I can, inshallah, with the most, you know, understanding, inshallah. Now, and this Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'az, أَلَا أَدُلَّكَ عَلَى بَابٍ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ Can I teach you a door of the door of Jannah? He said, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ He said, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ Do you know, I bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you say this sentence with the right meaning, all your life changed. But don't say it with your tongue. Say it with the meaning. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. No power, no strength without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of Allah. Do you know if I have this sentence in my heart, can I have arrogance? Tell me, can I demand or believe in my money or my status or my husband or my wife or whatever I have? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم is a secret of the secret of Allah, is a treasure from the throne of Allah. Treasure hidden underneath the throne of Allah, given it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see how much you're missing? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. You have a problem? You have any situation? Say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You feel you are weak? Say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Something upset you? Say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. But do not say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Why? No. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. And after that, he said, everything has a keys. Everything has a keys. Do you know the ultimate key of Jannah? What is it? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. I give you advice, all of you. Wallahi, a beautiful advice. If you do it, it will change your life. One sister, she called me one day, and she told me, I want to study with you. And she's anxious. I have time. I tell her, come over. She came. After she came immediately, I find out she's retarded. She's not normal. How I teach her? How I teach a girl or a woman like that? All of a sudden, something came in my heart. I can feel. She might have some shayateen, some jinn, something is wrong with her. I give her some books about La ilaha illallah. And tell her, go, I'm busy now, and I'll call you later, or call me when you have time. And right away I went to Allah. I said, Allah, what I give her? And I said, is this girl really need a lot of knowledge? She has no memory, she cannot remember. What knowledge can I give her, can benefit her? Something came in my heart. You know what is it? She called me after a couple of days and she told me I finished the book. What I do now? I tell her to say La ilaha illallah. Day and night, say La ilaha illallah. Do you know why I tell her that? Because if this girl, her heart connect to Allah, finished. Finished. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much knowledge you have? No, how much iman she has in her heart. Today we want to decorate our life with all this knowledge and the heart is corrupt. And the opposite, if this girl, the reality of La ilaha illallah come in her heart, she's a winner. By this way, what is the ultimate knowledge I can give her? La ilaha illallah. What is the best knowledge she needs is La ilaha illallah. Because if she has Allah with her, she doesn't need nobody. Allah will take care about her. Do you understand? By this way, my advice to you is start reciting and saying La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha day and night. And even if you are alone, I advise you, don't say it silently. Say it a little bit louder to the point you can hear it by yourself. Why? To really grasp it. I do not want you to say it like a puppet. No. Say it comprehended. La. And even move your hand like that. Say La. Deny everything except Allah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Believe me, I spent a lot of time in my life doing that. And it helped me a lot. Because all of a sudden, whatever problem you have, whatever calamity you have, whatever what kind of things you have in your life, is gone. Because all of a sudden, if you say it with a real meaning, do you know what it means? Whatever happening has to happen. And whatever is not happening, it will not happen. Finished. What it will give me? Happiness, contentment, tranquility. And once I do that, Allah will open. Because let me tell you something for Allah. Don't ever worry for a second. You worry, you will not be content with Allah. Allah will not be content with you. You have no trust in Allah if you worry. You have no belief in Allah if you worry. Leave tomorrow in the hand of Allah. Drop your worry and believe in Allah. You are safe and you're very happy. A Muslim is worry-free. Imagine I gave a call to somebody, and she said she's going to a non-Muslim for a session about depression, and she's taking a depression pills. She doesn't need a depression pills. She needs a whip. A rope and a whip to cleanse her heart from all the nonsense she has in her heart. Because if you have iman and yaqeen, you do not need the depression pills. You do not need a doctor. We have the doctor of all the doctor. We have the remedy of all the remedy. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all we need. A Muslim has no depression. A Muslim has no problem. There's no such thing in the Islamic dictionary as a problem or depression. There's no such. But this way, La ilaha illallah is the key of all Jannah. Is the major key of Jannah. And Salah. And the key of Salah is Tahur. Tahur meaning purification. And I said it before. Today we might look nice, but we're talking about the purification inside, outside. Meaning, before you make wudu, what you should do? Istinja. Make sure you have istinja. You clean yourself, male and female. Don't stand up and urinate, and mashallah, decorate the bathroom with all yellow all over. You would be in big trouble in the front of Allah. I'm serious. Sit down, urinate, take your time, and follow the sunnah. And to follow the sunnah is to wait, and after squeeze your bladder by your hand. You squeeze it 2 or 3 times. And for men to get up and walk 30 to 40 feet, until you drain all your urine, especially when you get older. If you cannot do it, you sit down, and I will teach you later on how to do it. And for female, again, you sit and up 2 or 3 times before the final wash. Why? Sometimes you can drips. Allow all the drips to drips, and after that, wash yourself cleanly, and after that, now you can make wudu. By this way, we have to worry about the cleanliness inside, outside. And Ibn Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, said something else. He said, today we do a lot of wudu, but we forget we have to do wudu of the heart. By this way, even before you do wudu, you have to cleanse your heart. You have to ask Allah to forgive those who commit sins against you, or mischief against you. And you have to go and forgive those who commit sins against them, or backbiting, or namima, or ghaiba. You have to cleanse your heart. And if you oppress somebody by money or trust, give it to them. In other words, the dua is not to be accepted. Or stop eating haram. By this way, cleansing is inside, outside. And start with the purification of the heart. And one of the best books to do that, Ihya Ulumuddin, by Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi. Is a very beautiful book to cleanse your own heart. It contains a lot of ahadith da'ifa, weak hadith. Don't worry about it. Take it as an advice. Take it as a commentary. Okay? But just read what he's talking about. You will learn a lot. And the key of Hajj al-Ihram. The key of doing Hajj al-Ihram. Ihram is take your clothes off and put it on and have the intention of Ihram. And the intention of Ihram, I can explain it in another time, it may take a lifetime. But to make it short, the intention of Ihram, the moment you do Ihram and you said labbaik Allahumma labbaik, at this moment you should not have nobody in your heart except Allah. I feel sad. When people, after they do Ihram, they are running after the phone. Oh, I won't call my daughter, I won't call my mom, I won't call my... In the middle of the Hajj, I'm making all kinds of phone calls. Where is the phone call to Allah? You're busy about... You already have them, and you're coming for 2 weeks only. And mashallah, today, by the time you go Hajj, the whole trip is 15, 17 days. Take 2 or 3 days going, 2 or 3 days coming, it left you with 7 or 8 days. And 7 or 8 days you want, you'll lose it too. The seven most 8 days in your life, it might change your life in this life and the after. Completely, and you lose it too. And you have a list of all the things you want. And you want to buy a gold. And you want to see where is the cheapest gold. And you want to compare. And you have some gold to sell. And you have some gold to compare. Ya Allah. And you keep going bargain. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You want to know who you are? I see it. You want to know if you have Islam or not? If you bargain. Do you know Islam has no bargain? Does anybody know that? No bargain in Islam. MashaAllah, you go to Saudi Arabia, they ask you, are you Egyptian? The moment they ask you Egyptian, they raise the price. Because you know, you want to bargain for 45 minutes about something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said? He said, رحم الله المرئن. May Allah give mercy to a person. سهلاً إذا باع, سهلاً إذا اشترى. May Allah give mercy to those who are easy in a time of buying, easy in a time of selling. Islamically, let me tell you Islamically what it's supposed to be. I sell you this for $100. You have the right to tell me, can I buy it for 70? Are you going to be pleased and content if I give you 70 or I oppress you? What is good for you? I tell you, for example, 85. Can I go back? No, 75. No, 65. No, 75. No, 60. This is not Islam. 1, 2, finished. Now, be careful because sometimes we're stealing. I saw it in Hajj. You find Bengali or Pakistani or Indian or whatever, where is he coming from, or Arabic people. Very poor kids. Very poor kids. They have some toys. Or some kufi, or some hijab. The whole money they have, maybe $10-$15 merchandise. And they tell you, for example, this kufi is 5 riyal, no, 3. And it's hot, and at the end of the day, and the boy won't leave, you oppress him. You're stealing from him 2 riyal. Do you know what it means? In the day of judgment, this boy will come and take the 2 riyal from you back. How many of us know that? And you think you did a good job, or a poor woman is stuck and she has no food, and you might oppress her, and you, mashallah, you did a good deal. She tell you 5 riyal, no, 2, I take all of them, 2, take it or leave it. She looks a poor woman, and she needs food for her children. She said, okay, give it to me. And mashallah, you're happy, and you keep saying it. Oh, you guys, you're a fool, I get it for 2 riyal. Imagine you are from America, bargain with a poor woman for 2 riyal. You know what it means, 2 riyal, like 70 cents or 60 cents. You go to hell fire for 60 cents. Big haji, mashallah. Yes, and we laughing, and we happy about our own dumbness and stupidity. Instead of a woman like that, she tell me 5 riyal. I tell her, no, 10 riyal. And this would be a hidden charity to her and help her in her own journey. Is this she coming to build an Empire State? She coming to compete with you in a real estate? La hawla wa la quwwata illa. Look how much oppressor we are. And we go in meantime to Hilton or Sheraton, Mecca and Medina, and we buy things for almost thousands and thousands of dollars. Has no sense. But we happy about oppression, a lady or a girl or a boy selling something very cheap. And we happy, we did a big bargain. No, you're not happy. You're stealing. In the front of Allah, you're stealing. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, somebody came to him and he said, yeah, Ali, can you buy this horse? He said, this horse, I do not need a horse. He said, please, can you buy it from me? He said, how much? He said, like 100 dinar for dirham. He looked at the horse, he said, no. He said, why? He said, this horse approximately 160, not 100. Look at the Muslim, how we think. The man tell him 100. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the one who go to buy. He said, no, this horse in this quality is at least 160. He said, I need the money. He said, okay, I buy it from you in one condition. He said, what is it, Ya Ali? He said, I give you 160. If you take it, I buy it. If you're not going to take 160, I will not buy it. Ali ibn Abi Talib do not know bargain. You see, he doesn't know dunya. We are, mashallah, the one who know. If I do that today, the people send me a stupid, you're dumb. No, Ali ibn Abi Talib is not stupid and dumb. We are the dumb one. He took the horse from him with 160. And you know, after he gave him the 160, he took the horse and didn't give me a right hand. He gave him his right hand. He said, please accept it for me as a gift. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Islam. You want to know who you are? See how you deal with other. You know the reality of your Islam. You want to know who your Islam? Please wake up before it's too late. Look what you're doing. I see in Mecca and Medina, we commit mischief. Imagine an Allah watching that. And we happy. We happy to steal from a bunch of young ladies and a bunch of girls and boys some small riyals. They have even no food. And we want the non-Muslim God to do what we do, what is done to us. The oppression of ourselves. To ourselves. Remember that. Especially if you carry Quran, don't ever forget me. You are in the front of Allah in big trouble. In big trouble, if your manner do not follow Quran, if your behavior do not follow Quran, if everybody do not look at you and say, he really carried Quran, you are in big trouble. And I remember you. Because I hate it today when I see people carry Quran and they disgrace Quran with their action. And they become evidence against us, not to us, in their own manner and quality. Is a disgrace to Quran. And I don't ever forget me. You disgrace Quran, Allah will disgrace you as soon or later. Don't think you have money, meaning you are honor. No, 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 no. Honor belongs to Allah. Honor is belong to Allah. By this way, this ihram. The moment you said labbaik Allahumma labbaik, don't ever think about your daughter, your son, anybody. Finish it. You belong to Allah. ومفتاح البر الصدق. The key of bir. What is bir? Bir, the goodness. Any goodness, any good deed, any closeness to Allah is bir. In an open meaning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He set it up in Quran. In Surah Ala Imran. I think verse 191 or 91. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never reach the door of goodness unless you spend of what you love. Not what you have, what you love. For example, if I have $100,000 and I give you $5,000, this is not what I love. But this will not open the door of goodness. It will give me a reward, but no door of goodness. What you love, you spend it for Allah, Allah opened for you. Don't ever forget that. And the key of that, as-sidq, be truthfulness. Sidq. Why I cannot spend today? Because I'm not a sadiq. I do not trust in Allah. I'm not really loving Allah. I'm loving what I have more than loving Allah. We still have time?
10.
MashaAllah. Wake up, Abu Shaykh. ومفتاح الجنة التوحيد. The key of Jannah is the oneness of Allah, Tawheed. And believe me, if I won't sit down in here just about this moment, it will take maybe at least a month, if we won't give it real and honest talk. The key of Jannah is the oneness of Allah. What it mean? Anybody make me happy and tell me what it means? The oneness of Allah? In one sentence, go ahead. You cannot love anything except Allah. What else? Something very important. Something we're missing today. Only one sentence. We have to inculcate it in our heart. Allah is the doer. Allah is the doer. Allah is fa'al lima yureed. Nothing can happen. Nothing will not happen. Nothing can happen. Whatever. Nothing can exist or happen or do not happen without the will of Allah. And the early people, they said, the oneness of Allah to look at everything with an eye from Allah and an eye toward Allah, meaning I'm looking to the wisdom of Allah, I'm looking to the kindness of Allah, I'm looking for generosity of Allah, I'm looking to the will of Allah. What about my disease? What about my calamity? What about my need? What about whatever it is? It has a wisdom and goodness. Nothing in this earth just like that. Everything, it has a wisdom. And the moment I have oneness of Allah, I will receive something. We'll talk about it later on. The key of knowledge, husnas su'al. The key of seeking knowledge, seeking, questioning. Seeking and questioning. Today, what's the problem? We keep quiet. How you get knowledge? You have to ask. If I keep talking to you and you do not ask, I cannot give you. It will not benefit you. You have to seek knowledge. You have to ask questions. Shyness is good except in one, seeking knowledge. Shyness is good except in one, seeking knowledge. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no shy in Islam, no shy in deen. Because if you shy, you will not ask questions, you cannot develop your own Islam. وحسن الإصغاء, and have a good manner in the time of hearing. Be in a state of nice hearing. Focus. Be honest in the time of hearing. ومفتاح النصر والزفر والصبر, and the key of victory in every topic is patience. The key of victory and elevation is patience. But remember me, don't ever ask for patience, but ask for al-afwa wal-afiyah. Don't ask for patience, but ask for Allah to give you al-afwa wal-afiyah. Because Allah, Rasulullah said, don't ask Allah for patience. Patience is calamity. But if Allah give me something, I ask Allah, oh Allah, allow me to be in a state of gratitude and thank and patient with what you give me. But if Allah do not give you, don't ask for patience. The moment you ask for patience, you're asking for calamity. Because what is patience? Calamity. A trial, examination. But you always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inna nas'alaka al-afwa wal-afir wal-mu'afat al-tamma fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah. It's a dua. You will find it in any dua book. Allahumma inna nas'alaka al-afwa wal-afir wal-mu'afat al-tamma fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah. You can find it. And the key of extra is thanks to Allah. The key of extra, to thank Allah. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constitution in Quran. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank me, I will increase. The more you thank Allah, the more Allah will increase. Can I thank Allah and look to other? Can I thank Allah and compare? Can I thank Allah and I do not like who am I? You cannot. You cannot. You have to be pleased with who you are. Because who you are is a creation of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I perfected you. Each one of us is a complete perfection for wisdom Allah. Is this understood? ومفتاح الولاية والمحبة الذكر. And the key to be the friend of Allah and guardian by Allah and the love of Allah is to remember Allah. The key to get closer to Allah is to remember Allah. The more you remember Allah, the more you get closer to Allah. And if you are an honest Muslim, you have no time to remember anybody except Allah. Believe it or not, the early people, they will not give you Quran unless you become a dhakir first. Meaning you have to be in a state of manner, in a state of dhikr, in a state of piety, and after that they give you Quran. By this way, you really carry Quran. you will become a role model of Quran. Or at least they put you in a state and a complete environment with good scholar and good people until you develop it. By this way, please, one of the main problems I see today among us, we're losing a lot of time for nonsense. We're losing a lot of time of committing a lot of mischief and sins. It can destroy our heart. And we are destroying all our good deed and our closeness to Allah. Switch it. Anytime you have do zikr, remember Allah. Because if you're honest between you and Allah, you don't need to remember anyone. You need to remember Allah is much better for you. وَمُفْتَاحِ الْفَلَاحِ هُوَ التَّقْوَى. And the key of successful is the taqwa of Allah. And the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people translate it as the fear of Allah. It's not really the word fear of Allah. It's actually the taqwa is to get away from maharim illah. To get away from everything is haram is taqwa. Everything is forbidden, get away is taqwa. Anything Allah dislike, get away is taqwa. Anything Allah like, get away, get toward it is taqwa. ومفتاح التوفيق الرغبة والرهبة. This is another problem we have today. ومفتاح التوفيق. التوفيق meaning the ability. Why Allah will allow me to do? Unless I have the zeal and the desire. And the zeal and the desire, I will not have it unless I love to please Allah. You see how it goes? Unless I am really seeking Jannah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومفتاح الإجابة الدعاء. And the key of acceptance your dua, the إجابة, the acceptance is dua. Allah loves those who do dua. We should seek Allah, we should ask Allah, we should cry to Allah, we should always be poor and gravity to Allah. The only one He loves you to beg, Allah. The only one we should disgrace ourselves to and decrease ourselves to, Allah. Allah loves it because He deserves it. And at this time, Allah will elevate us. I would be sitting now, my mind completely in different place, my heart in different place. If I do that, meaning I'm really receiving. Don't ever forget that, please. But if a person just turn around and I start do-do-do-do-do, this is a big problem, huge problem. Please, what you're hearing, you should really value it and learn how to have istiqamah. We said, وَمُفْتَاحِ الْإِجَابَةِ, the key of acceptance is dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do dua, and He hates those who do not do dua. Why? Anybody know why? Why Allah loves those who do dua a lot, and He hates those who do not do dua?
Because when you're asking Allah ta'ala, it's not actually that you're asking someone else. If you're not doing dua, then you're asking someone else.
Yeah. If you do not making dua, meaning you asking or seeking the support of somebody else. And a Muslim should be in a state of always supporting and seeking supporting from Allah. And not talking to anybody else except Allah or to seek advice. ومفتاح الرغبة في الآخرة الزهد في الدنيا. And if you see the hereafter, you have to divorce this dunya. If you want the hereafter, you have to spend your life. And this was the whole dunya all about. Allah gave us this dunya as a trial. Are you going to accumulate and think you're staying, or you spend it because you're leaving? And this is all our problem. But why we have it? Because our talk about dunya, our action about dunya, our accumulation for dunya. And we did this for a long time. We do not have the right companion, we do not have the right people around us, and we're not seeking it. I will tell you something for Allah. Even if you are the worst person on earth, and you are loving dunya so much, all I will give you one advice. Cry to Allah. Just cry to Allah and say, Allah, take dunya out of my heart. What Allah will do? Allah will give you. Allah give us according to what we want. This reminds me about a funny story, a true funny story. A man walking by in the desert, and he saw a very pretty woman coming from a tent. And in a way coming from the tent, he see a very ugly man inside. He said, you living with that? She said, shh, quiet. You do not know. He said, what I do not know? She said, this is my husband. He said, how come? Listen to what she said. She said, maybe Allah check his heart and he find out he deserved to have me. And maybe Allah check my heart and he tried me of him. Do you see the understanding? She understood it. These people used to understand. Today we do not understand. If you understand anything about your life, I promise you, ask Allah. Ask Allah about anything about your life, Allah will tell you. But if I do not seek Allah's advice, if I do not ask Allah, how I know anything? I believe so. Maybe. I think so. This is the way. Where is Allah in the picture? Is not there. I am the master of the master. And I forget all my knowledge is completely corrupted because I'm not seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومفتاح الإيمان التفكر فيما دعا الله عباده إلى التفكر فيه. And the key to gain إيمان. The key to gain إيمان. To think about what Allah wants us to remember and think about. What Allah wants us to think about? The soccer game? The World Cup? The baseball? The football? The fashion? The 22 carat? The 24 carat? The cars? The living room? The chandelier? You know? Today, you find some of our Muslim women, you go, you find the curtains so neat, so clean, so perfect. Right away. You see, everything is perfect, but where's Iman? It's gone. I do not mean you have to be dirty and stingy and stink, no. But we should make an effort in our heart, in Akhirah. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he said something so beautiful. He said, if you look to a creation of mankind, you're disgracing Allah. Today what we do? We go to building and take a picture. We go to building and take a picture. And the building is a piece of dust. We should look in the mountain, the trees, the sea, the sky, orbits, the galaxy, the animal, the bird, the ant, the fly, the insect, and we see the qudra and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even ourselves. But the more we think about the creation of Allah, it makes us remember Allah. If just a storm is coming and you hear the thunder and you hear the you know, you see the lighting, and you see how the trees move, how the rain come, and how it go away. And you remember the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dua of rain, when the rain coming and you hear thunder. What do you say? Anybody remember when you hear thunder? What do you say? سبحان الذي يسبح الرعد بحمده والملائكة من خيفته. Subhanallah, praise to Allah. The one, يُسَبِّحَ الرَّعْدَ بِحَمْدِهِ. The thunder is actually making tasbih, making dhikr with the praising of Allah. Meaning the thunder you hear is just praising Allah. And thank Allah. وَالْمَلَائِكَ بِالْخَيْفَةِ. And the angel is scared from them. When the angel see and hear the thunder, they scare and cry to Allah. The angel cry, they fear of the anger of Allah. Because if you look at it, if this coming now heavy, and Allah destroy us, who can stop it? Who can stop it? Is your money can stop it? Can you run to the bank, get your money? Can you get to the garage and get your car? Where are you going? What will money will do? Get your jewelry box. What it will do to your jewelry box now? Or your clothing? Tell me what you can gain. If boom, Allah drowned us in no time. How many times we see in the television? Many countries and many villages either destroyed by earthquake, volcano, hurricane, heavy rain, flooding, and all of a sudden the house is flying. Half a million houses flying, all of a sudden it's gone. The fire is all this a sign. A Muslim should be thinking, this is the power and qudra of Allah. Allah is a doer. Nobody can stop it. And everything for wisdom. Do we get it? Do we watch that and think, I can be next anytime? It doesn't mean I'm living in New York. MashaAllah. Is Allah said, if you live in New York, you are safe from my torture? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you are an American citizen, MashaAllah. If you have the blue passport, you are exempt. You see, we have to wake up. Our institution is Allah, the Quran. By this way, the more you think about the kingdom of Allah, the more the reality of Allah, the reality of Iman coming in your heart. ومفتاح الدخول على الله إسلام القلب. And the key to go toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have purifying your heart. You cannot go to Allah and your heart is dirty. You have to be in a state of submission and surrender. Tasleem. Tasleem. You know, in Arabic word, they say it so beautifully. If a group now traveling in a desert in a caravan, and a bunch of thieves coming to attack the caravan, do you know what they do? Number one, they put you in a state of prostration. By the way, they take all your weapons, everybody is in a state of prostration. Now, what is the state? A state of taslim. You completely submit and surrender. Excuse me, can I go to the bathroom? Can you lift your head? Psst, they cut it off. Bathroom or no bathroom, you cannot move until you ask permission. By this way, the early scholars said, the best way to understand more taslim, to be submitting to Allah and have taslim, is go back to where it's coming from. By this way, in the Arabic Peninsula, once you are in a caravan and somebody attacks a caravan, the first thing they do, they chop your head off if you do not say, go down, go down. Good, do sajda, do sajda, finished. Now they kill men, they take the woman, they take your property, finished. You are in a state of taslim. This is why they said, the highest state of surrender is the state of sajda. The state of surrender and submit to Allah in a state of sajda. When you completely surrender yourself and your head. Because the sign of surrender is your head is going down. This is why when people used to go to a king, what they do? They bow. And the more they respect and fear from the king, they bow more. And even in the old days, they used to do sajda, called sajda tashreef. Not sajda ibadah, sajda tashreef. Prostrating to a king or a high person as an elevation. And when the companion went to Persia and went to Roman Empire and come back, they said, Ya Rasulullah, you are deserve to have sajda tashrif more than them. We should give you sajda. He said, no. If I command somebody to make sujood to somebody, I command the woman to make sajda to her husband. Do you remember this hadith? But again, we hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The men, you hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Oh, I have to do, you have to do. And mashallah, I can be nuts, and I want my wife to be companion. You see, she has to do, but I do not have to do anything. I can do a monkey jump. I can be completely out of work. I can be a very bad person. But I want my wife to, mashallah, remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is common in our culture. We love to do it. Roti, dal, water. And this all we have to do. And you find our men like a big baby. He cannot even do anything for themselves. And it's almost like obligated the woman become like that. No, it's not. Aisha radiallahu anha, what she said? She said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the best among us for his family. And Rasulullah, he said, the best one among you is the best one to their family. Is this the best? No, this nonsense. This arrogant, stubbornness, childless. If you want to know who you are, see what you're doing inside your house. And forgive me, our woman. Do you know who created this monster? Big, big babies. You know who created them? The mother. The mother. Oh, my baby, sit down. Oh, my baby, sit down. And all the girls do everything in the house, and the big baby sit down. The Godzilla of today. You know, a baby Godzilla. Really? But even a bad Godzilla. You know, Godzilla does not do any harm. But this big baby, they become a woman abuser. And welcome to the club of woman abuser. Yes. They love to abuse women. Do you know why? Anybody know why? Why our men abuse women? Yes.
They are weak.
They are weak. And when a man is weak and he has no insecurity, what he do? He loves to get a young girl, make a macho man. I'm Godzilla. Fire. And beating and commanding and everything. Why? Because he has no anything to give. Because if he has the right manner and the right ethics and the right quality, he doesn't have to do that. You do not have to have your woman surrender to you by bad manner. A woman actually become a woman if you are a man. If you are a well man, you find your woman get closer to you more than you ever imagined. But if you are a baby, what's she going to go? Go to a dog shop and get you a leash. You know the leash for dogs? This is what our woman should get for our, you know, future husband. Because they are like a big baby, but even they do not know where they go. By the way, when you get married, you can give to your wife this me and the leash with it. Really? Because I'm not a man. Unless you want to be Khadija radiallahu anha and said, come on my baby, but astaghfirullah al-azim, how I can do that? Because Rasulullah was young, but was what? A man. A man. She looked at quality. She looked at quality. She looked at quality. Please, make sure you check the quality of the person before you get married. Don't worry about anything except quality, manner, and habits. And Allah will give you according to your intention. You want John Travolta? You get John Travolta. You want Godzilla? You get Godzilla. You want really a pious person? For Allah, you get one. But if you're honest to Allah, can I choose how he looks like? How tall he is? How his color of his eyes? What color of his car? No. Worry about only one thing. His piety, his knowledge, his manner, his character, the rest is easy. And for us as a male, doing yourself a big favor. Cry to Allah day and night and tell, oh Allah, give me tawbah and make me a man once and for all. And go to your mommy, said, my mommy, enough. I'm a mommy boy, enough, you destroy me. Make me a man, leave me alone. And sit with your father. And if your father is out of whack, sit with Allah and cry to Allah and say, Allah, make me a man. Allah will make you a man. I believe in Allah. Allah give us according to what we want. But say the truth. Because imagine, I will ask you one question for all this young, you know, male. I cannot tell you a boy, I cannot tell you a man. A male. Until you prove otherwise. Leave your toes when you said, it's not a bad thing could happen. Wonder what happened. All you have to do is one thing. Cry to Allah. And ask Allah, if I get married today, what I'm going to give my wife? Tell me. What I'm going to show my wife? What I can do to my family? What knowledge I ask her to do? How she can be a follower of me? How? And what she will follow? She follow me playing like a boy? Running like nonsense? Talking about games, my head is bye-bye. If you open it, you find Batman. Really? Unbelievable. And this is the future of the leader of our sisters, mashallah. And after that, they already destroyed 80%, you destroy the 20% left. And before they do it, all they have, they gaining weight, they have a couple of baby sitting to carry, and that's it. And the ummah is gone. And this is all what we know good for. If she cook, and she make me happy of cooking, mashallah. Please be careful. By this way, you have to have complete taslim to go to Allah. And this taslim joined by something else called ikhlas, sincerity, which again we lack of that. And sincerity for al-hubb wal-bughd. Sincerity of loving Allah, sincerity of hating anything Allah hates, even if my father or my mother. Meaning I have to be a Muslim. My mother tell me something is not right, I said, my mother, forgive me, this is not Islamically. I cannot obey you when something is not Islamically, my mom. I respect you, I love you, but I cannot obey you when something is not Islamically. Please, let's study together and see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted in a nice manner. But you do not come and say, mommy said, where's Allah? Where's Rasulullah? Is mommy is Allah? Is daddy is Allah? Yes, you have to obey them. You have to be kind to them, generous to them. But not to obey them in the nonsense. My father encouraged me. My mother encouraged me. We should obey if it's for Allah. If it's not for Allah, you do not listen. And the key of the heart will be open toward Allah. Now the key of the living of the heart, what is it? This is what we talk about it now. Tadabbur al-Qur'an. Not reading Qur'an. Tadabbur al-Qur'an. What meaning tadabbur al-Qur'an? To sit. You know when you see something so beautiful and you sit in a wonder? Meaning you sit, for example, and you're reading and all of a sudden you go and you think, what Allah is telling me? What it means? How I can live it? And see the tafsir, see the meaning, call the learned people, get closer to Allah. This is called tadabbur al-Qur'an. And inshaAllah, at this moment, we stop at here and we continue tomorrow. Is any question and answer? I begin this talk and I remind people to remind me about the person called me yesterday and he asked me, I want to study psychology and sociology. And this encouraging to the ummah. I ask, by the name of Allah, tell me, what psychology, sociology will be good for the ummah? How? Can anybody explain to me how? Imagine who? And let me tell you something. Even if we want to study Zoroastrian ideology, there's nothing wrong. But if we have the basic first, if I have all the basic and I study any Western ideology with the intention to learn their understanding and view, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do not take a young boy, a young girl, is completely bye-bye, I put them in a college for 5-6 years, study that, and the mentality and the heart become completely bye-bye, and after that teach them Quran. Before you know it, they sit down, excuse me, it's wrong. Why is wrong? So-and-so said. Lago said, so-and-so said. And all of a sudden, your role model will be a non-Muslim nonsense. The majority of them is homosexual. The majority of them commit suicide. And this will be my role model in my life. Imagine. And where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's gone. Where is Allah? It's not there. And you tell me, some of our leader, encouraging us, did they learn that? May Allah forgive them, Allah. If this is what they encourage us, may Allah forgive them. I do not know what the wisdom behind it. I dare anybody can tell me what the wisdom behind it. A young boy or a young girl go to a college. It's completely have nothing to do with Sunnah, nothing to do with Quran, and all of a sudden tell them to study psychology and sociology. Forgive me, I know some of our famous people in here, psychologists, but I never see psychologists or psychologist, whatever, is really have a brain. Because you're all sick and so arrogant, and they believe mashallah. Why? Because all of a sudden, when you're dealing with other, you are leading yourself to compare other according to your education. We're supposed to be, our teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not Plato. Imagine if my role model is the sick people, and I'm judging people according to the sick people, and I'm looking to people and waving finger according to their sickness. I cannot believe it. Any question, any concern? Yes?
What was the name of the book that cleanses the heart, about cleansing the heart?
Ihya Ulum al-Din, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. Any question, any concern? Yes, my lady.
When you said that a person is blind, they don't have to be
better. Can you tell me, do me a favor, can you speak loud, clear, and don't join the word? Because very soon you're supposed to be the inviter. And how will be inviter when our wording is so joined and I cannot hear you clearly and loud? MashaAllah. She said a beautiful question. What happens if I am a young boy or a girl and I believe I'm blind? What I do? I will tell you something very simple. Make tawbah to Allah. Cry to Allah and tell him, oh Allah, if you wrote me among the people of her fire, please forgive me and open for me. And oh Allah, if you give me this life to be among the people of happiness and Islam, oh Allah, save it from me. You see, you are young, or whatever you are, you can be the most dirty person. Go to Allah. The moment you go to Allah and ask Allah for tawbah, Allah opens for you. Actually, the majority of all the scholars, they said, if you see a person in calamity after calamity, bad manner after bad manner, in blindness after blindness, you have to know something wrong in his heart. Because all you have to do as a Muslim, make istighfar, ask Allah to give you tawbah, Allah will open for you. But why Allah will open for you if I'm arrogant? You remember what we go back? You remember the two qualities? Stingy and arrogant. But the arrogant person do not believe he has a problem. The arrogant person, look, everybody has a problem except me. By this way, he will never ask Allah, honest to Allah. Sure. Actually, mashallah, she said, after praying and making dua, is anything I can do? Sure. Stop what you're doing. But as when you make dua, you seek Allah's support, and meantime, this sincerity now. Forgive me today, again. I know some of you do not like it. You know, we meet people, and all of a sudden, make dua for me, make dua for me, make dua for me. But what can dua can do to you if you do not change? You remind me by Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, a brother or a cousin from the Khalifa of this time. Okay? I will remember his name, inshallah. Al-Mansur. His name Al-Mansur. Okay? From the seed of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he came to him and said, make dua to the Khalifa. Listen to Abu Imam Abu Hanifa what he said. He said, what is Abu Imam Abu Hanifa dua will do when thousands of the people making dua against him? Tell him, go. Purify his intention and give justice to people. Allah will accept his dua. He doesn't need the dua of Abu Hanifa. Do you remember what I said? Don't oppress people. Don't go like nuts and say to people, oh, make dua for me. No, you change. You do goodness. Spend from your money to poor people. The poor people will cry, and this time the mercy of Allah will come down, and now your heart will be changed. Really, you will see goodness in your life, spend money. Spend money but to poor people, really poor, needy people. You will see your life will be changed. The more you spend, the more you will be pure. The more you will be free. But you cannot be free when you keep stuck. You remember what I said about the two quality? You see now is a stingy word coming? What about if I have no money? If you have a bad manner, if you have a bad habit, stop it. Cry to Allah. Seek the right role model. Seek the right environment. Don't make you go like nuts doing what you're doing and make dua at night. It is a lie. Because the first state of tawbah is to stop. You put me in trouble, young lady. You put me in trouble. You look at this. I said you have to. I said you have to marry by 12 and have kids by 16. I said so. How old are you? And that's pressure. Okay, there's nothing wrong with what you said, but don't quote me. I said you have to. I didn't say it yet. It's recommended. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended when the girl reached puberty is recommended to get married. Now the question, what happened if I'm a young girl, I'm bye-bye, I do not know. Very simple, don't forget, if we honest today, okay, I can give you a mini story about that, I do not know if the time will permit. If you want, we can answer this question after Salat al-Dhuhr if you have time. If not, we continue tomorrow, okay? This question is very important, but we miss it today. Now, I'll give you an example. If somebody coming to you now 35 years old, you marry him or you? I'm asking you. If somebody coming with a very beautiful quality 35 years old, you marry him or you? Huh? Yes or no? It takes you a long time to think. You see? But he has no money. He's not a doctor. He's not an engineer. Maybe he'll make you sleep in the tent. He doesn't have no money, no refrigerator. Don't worry about cooking. Why you marry him in the first place? What's that? Exactly. You know what happened? This one will save all of us if we have a goal. If you want to be a good Muslim, if you want to be a teacher to the Ummah, if you want to be an inviter to Allah, you will marry whom? A person has a doctorate degree in psychology? Tell me. Even if he's a president of one of the main mental institute, and he gives you medication every day, tell me what he can give you. He will teach you about all kinds of psychology. But this was a goal. Focusing here, this will make a big difference. Do you think a good man, if he really wants to marry you, he will worry about your cooking? All of us as a Muslim, we do not need to gain weight, believe me. All of us need to lose weight. By this way, don't worry about cooking. Okay? If we stop cooking, it's actually good for us. Okay? And we can cook something simple and that's it. And we can gain a lot of power in the kitchen. Imagine if I die and I go, I find in my book, dal and rice, and in Ramadan, 80% of Ramadan in the kitchen. And mashallah, the whole house made curry, the man coming in the masjid curry, bourbon curry, everything curry, and onion. And all Tarawih, they want all kind of water. They need fire department. Why do they need the fire department? Imagine, after fasting immediately, you have all the fried hot stuff. It doesn't make sense. It blows your stomach. All you need, invite me to your house. Give me one of this, I will be sick for a week. I will burn my acid all the night. How I make Taraweeh? And our sheikh and people who do Taraweeh, they eating after that. By this way, you can burn all night. Up and down burn. Why we do that? Where is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some milk, some dates, some light soup, some water. This is what you need, some yogurt to cool down your system. Why you need to put hellfire in your stomach after fasting? Why? And you're spending all day doing something, it destroys you and destroys your time. Why? The whole house smells, the whole body smells, and you lose the most important time in your life. For what? For two recipes. And two recipes, Allah knows where it's coming from, is not good for you. Flour with oil and you burn it, cholesterol, and all of you, mashallah, have a heart problem. I do not get it. We have no mentality at all. We're completely mentally disabled. And it has to be, who said it has to be? Show me Quran ayah or a verse in Quran said, you have to have dal and rice in Ramadan. You have to have what do you call it, bakura or mawura, the round thing, you have to fry. You know, every Ramadan, you see it all over. Once you enter a masjid, you know. This Pakistani or Indian masjid. You smell it all over. And once Salah is started, you know for a fact. This Pakistani, burning all night. Why? Why we do this to ourselves? Imagine I go to Allah, why? Why I do not eat something simple? It's good for my health. It's good for my worship. It saved my time.